Have your Bibles open up. We got about 20 minutes to have a Bible study. Have your Bible open up with me, if you will. Start with 2 Thessalonians. Father, we open this book again. We thank you for the privilege to serve the living God and for the information you left for us to study, for the Holy Spirit that helps us understand it, who wrote it. And our Father, we pray to help us grow in grace and knowledge of in the Lord. Help us always be able to connect the dots for our lives, to know what you'd have us do, say, be, this side of eternity, and when we get to heaven, the only thing that matters is what we did do for you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, today man's opinion are elevated above God's word. We see a trend is happening. We talked about this thing again of coming, going back all the way to Genesis chapter 6 when the flood came, Genesis chapter 11 when Nimrod set up the system that had to do with man's society, and then chapter 12 of Genesis, where we see God's society, and that man's society influenced by Satan, God's society influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I've found this out. Any time that we have a question about things in life, is generally, most of the time, if not all the time, you'll find a complete answered those questions in the Bible. And this study has done something for me this time I've never seen in my life. There's so many things I want to study now in depth for my benefit. I've read so many things of the past, but I believe the Bible itself can give the answer. And I've come to this conclusion. I believe this is the Word of God, and I'm going to study it with all the might that I can, and I'm going to believe what God shows me in spite of what the world may say. In spite of what others may say, I believe that God gives us that right and ability to understand what we need to understand in this particular life. Now, it's a known fact. We're going into the book of Revelation, not next week, but after that, and we'll be going to chapter 17. And there we begin to understand how all of this has come down through the ages from Nimrod's time when it comes to what Babel and Babel means of confusion. And when you get over to the book of Revelation, we began to talk more about these three elements that's involved in man's history that when they leave God out. We have a manifestation of them in what is called, we know it's Satan. We also know that he has what he calls the Antichrist, which is the Antichrist spirit, and we know there's a false prophet. All of these comes from what we see started in Nimrod's day. Now, you've heard me say before, 650 years before the flood took place, God let time go for a good while. What made him all of a sudden decide to destroy everything except Noah and his family who found grace in his sight? Somebody say, well, it was sin. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always been sin since Adam and Eve sinned. I mean, there's been gross sin. There's been terrible sins. There's been adultery and murder, and you can just name about any type of sin, and that's 650 years before God destroyed the earth. There is sin upon sin upon sin, and you look in those areas and you see that God says a lot of things even about his people who at that time were headed up by the home who was the priest of the family in those days. But when you get to Genesis chapter 6, something terrible took place for God to say, that's it. And I'm looking at that now, and I believe God's given the answer for it, but it's going to take a while to study. I've been in it for a number of weeks now, and I'll be in a few weeks more as I study about what will happen here. What I'm saying to you, it's obvious in God's plan and purpose, things that take place, he tolerates to some degree because of his love for humanity. He goes along some degree so he knows, by the way, sin's going to be punished.
That's right.
Sin's going to be punished. It can be punished in Jesus Christ, and we who trust him know what it is to be to go to heaven because sin will be paid for, or to be punished by those who say they reject God's method, just God's plan, and they end up in hell in the lake of fire, never been able to pay for it, but be there for eternity. On the other hand, the parallel these two running together started, like we know it, as when it comes to man's society influenced by Satan and God's society influenced by the Holy Spirit of God, even though in the Old Testament we don't see it like we do in the New Testament. But it is, that's the two power sources, Satan for man's society, and God in his power for God's society. We see God's society starting again in Genesis 12 through Abraham. that run parallel down through the ages. Now, I can't go back and rehearse a lot of things, but I've come down now to 2 Thessalonians. We looked at some last time we were studying this, and I want to come down with me to about 8, verse 8 in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. So the Apostle Paul is laying out some principles here that has to do with the end of the age. The day of the Lord and the man of sin is going to be revealed. And he's telling us that even in verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I am convinced that when you talk about Jesus Christ, everything Satan does is to do opposite of him, and therefore he has a system that has to do with Antichrist. We see that in John and other places. The Antichrist spirit is already in the beginning, in the first century, and it's personified itself, and it keeps moving to a point that after a while, evil gets so bad, things began to move in such a fast pace, man refused to listen to God, so that means the next generation is worse, and then you have less listen to God, and the next generation is worse, and God has to, somewhere down the road, stop it. If not, everything would be so bad, he'd have no influence at all as far as someone representing him, and they have to listen to him when he won't listen to us who are saved by God's grace. Did you know anybody can listen to you and I and turn us off and say, I don't care, I don't believe that? What? They have right to and can do that. But when they stand before God, they can't turn him off. When they stand before Jesus Christ, they cannot turn him off. But they can us have a right to do that. They didn't disbelieve anything we say. And we hope and pray that we studied enough to say the truth so the truth will stand in that particular day. But I believe the falling away here at this particular time has to do more than what we think of in our day. I think there is an anti-spirit which set forth an anti-church that has an anti-Christ spirit in it, that whereas they use his name, but never for the purpose, and that's what we'll see, never for the purpose that we know that Christ died for us to take away our sins. As a matter of fact, remember in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Gabriel said to Joseph that when Jesus comes, his name will be called Jesus, he shall, you remember what he said? Die for their sin. Do you remember that? That verse of scripture? He set forth that in 21, he said that she'll bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, that's why Jesus came. You don't hear much of that today. Listen to anything you hear preaching. Very little is given about why Jesus came, to save his people from their sin. But there is a message being taught today that you can be saved and you can be saved in your sin. And that's what the Antichrist spirit is teaching. So I believe the falling away is there have been a lot of, in these last days, and get worse, are good Bible-believing churches who had the Spirit of God there and God's people were there. And then there is a mass movement somehow or another that there's a collected group that begins to come in. They like the situation and so forth, but they never get really born again. And then time with time, God's people pass on to be with him. And next thing you know, you've got churches who use Jesus' name, attach him to everything, but they don't know what it is to be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, a person can tell you that they've been saved and therefore live in their sin without any reservation. They think that Jesus can save them in their sin, not from their sin. I said that a few weeks ago. You see, when God saves you from your sin, he's going to understand that there's something about life that changes. And God is the same. So we see a massive falling away. Listen, you don't have to look at much with the news media today. A falling away. Not some of these people used to think about the Roman church. I'm not so sure all the Roman church. I think a lot of Protestant churches are just as bad as the Roman church. In our day, just look around what they're teaching, what they're saying, what they're doing, and how they use Christ. Christ has not been preached that if you don't believe in him, you're going to die and go to hell. They're saying, hey, believe in him and get all things here, but you can just live any way you want to live. And it makes no difference. That's not Bible. This Bible tells us a lot of things to do as far as life is concerned. So here, let's look at, get 2 Thessalonians. We're going to be going to Revelation next time we meet together. But watch what he says after he says that. He said this man of sin revealed the son of perdition who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God. or that is worshiped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That always amazes me. When I hear anything today that's supernatural in the sense that somebody goes to see because it looks supernatural, I'm skeptical about that. I believe that God is a supernatural God. And I believe that God does some supernatural things. But in the age of grace, he has his word and his spirit, who's doing most of the work in people's hearts to get them ready for God's return for them, instead of the things we see in the day, that where God is doing all of this stuff, you can't even verify. But this man, when he comes, you'll be able to verify this. In the tribulation period, when these miracles take place, I guarantee you, anybody in society, anyone in any field, anyone in college, anyone in the health department, they can verify these things because they'll be real. It won't be something that they thought happened, or someone said it happened, or maybe they didn't have it what they said. It will be real. Every miracle, every line, everything that takes place will be real, though it'll be a pseudo. And that's what he's talking about here. He opposed and exalted. He's going to show himself not only that he said he sitteth in the temple as God, that he is as God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself. Watch this last phrase. He's showing himself that he is God. Let me ask you something. What is he going to be doing to show himself that he is God? You take a nation, you take a group of people today on this planet Earth that looks around at all that's happening, and they say a lot of things that God is doing miracles, and they're deceived about what they... Can you imagine if it would be true? That would captivate everybody who don't have an eye to look towards the truth from God. He said not only is he going to look as God in some of the temple, he's going to show himself that he is God. It'd be hard to tell the difference when he looked so much like God doing the things of God. But then notice he said, remember ye that when I was with you, I told you these things. Then Paul, he said, and now we know that with what withholdeth he might be revealed at this time. For the mystery of iniquity, I love that. The mystery of lawlessness, that's what that means, doth already work. On he now letteth will let. And the word letteth means hinder. On he that hindereth will hinder. Until he, that is he, we know that speaking of the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, he said, then that wicked person, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He'll be rendered literally inactive, not being able to do when Jesus comes back what he's going to do, could do, and later will do when you get to the end of the millennial reign. Watch verse 9. Even him whom coming is after the workings of Satan. Watch this. This son of perdition, this one's coming, this anti, is going to be after, notice he said, the working of Satan. Watch this next phrase. With all power, you've not seen anything in this age yet that claimed to be power of God, that was or was not, like you're going to see here. Notice, Satan with all powers and signs, and watch, lying wonders. But the world won't know it's a lie. See, he's a liar to start with. The world will not know what they're looking at as being a lie to deceive. And yet, they'll look at the reality, this person has got power. Why would God do that? Because God is fed up, or people not listening to him, and want to hear what they want to hear so much that pleases the flesh more than the soul. And he goes on and tells us what happens. He said, and even him who's coming after the work of Saint Lionel, which in verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, well, that's everything, in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And boy, I circled that years ago. The love of the truth. What is the love of the truth? Would anyone like to guess on that? What is the love of the truth? What did Jesus say in John 14, verse 6? Well, that's commandment. But in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when I see this, that's good, Brother Lee, but when I'm seeing this, he's an analysis of the Antichrist spirit and God's spirit through Christ. The church is anti and the real church. And he said, the difference between these two is the truth. And when you think about the church, where does it start with truth? Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he closed out, as he said, no man come to the Father but by me. Why? Because if he's the way, the truth, and the life, there is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life that he offers that he's talking about. And here he says, here though, with all deceivingness of unrighteous in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. He's talking about people who perish. And that means ended in absolute desolation. Being judged with complete judgment of God. And I think it ends up in the fire, in hell and the fire and brimstone that's in the lake of fire. He said that they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They refused to receive the love of the truth. Then when he said that they might be saved, it helps me understand it connects to Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus came to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save them from what? He said from their sin, right? Save his people from their sin. So the words in context refer anywhere else I see about what Jesus Christ is going to do. So I know when he talks about this, he's going to have power that makes him look like God, be lying wonders. And he's going to also have all kinds of deceivingness and unrighteousness in them, even though they perish, those that follow him. And they perish, and God said through Paul, they perish. Why do they perish, Paul? They perish because they receive not the love of the truth with that they might be saved. Now watch verse 11. For this cause. For what cause? Verse 10. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's as plain as I can see. Why is it that God going to do what he's going to do in the next few verses? Because they had the right, they had the time, they had the privilege to receive who he's talking about here, the love of the truth that they might be saved. And we know without a doubt he's talking about his son because he is the love of the truth. He's the love of God. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Every way you turn is connected around his son. And he loved the truth, or he loved of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they were that way, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Now that throws a lot of people trouble, I think. You mean to tell me that God is sending them delusion, deceiving them and everything else that they might believe a lie? That's what he said. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. How could that happen? Is God such a bad God that there are certain people who do certain things he hates so bad that he just takes away and just makes, deceives them and make them, as he says here this time, believe a lie? I thought about that some. It bothers me because a lot of people have questions about it. That's not my God. My God loves you too much. Only Satan is a liar. You know, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, will you listen to me just a moment? Did you know, all God has to, he don't have to make us do anything. All God has to do is let us run our course in our mind, objecting to him and believing everything else but him, and let us go. We'll be reprobates and get worse and worse and worse. And all God is saying will just let you alone. You're going to believe a lie. You won't believe me, so there's nothing there to counteract where you're going. In the last days, man is not believing God, and he's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the preliminaries of sin that leads to gross sin and abomination, we're seeing already have passed in us in our particular day. And it's getting to the place now, nothing is wrong in the eyes of men. How in the name of heaven, when you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, how in the name of heaven could a city get so bad that they'd rather have, as you see Lot trying to defend the angels. Now keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, these men, these two men in flesh were angels clothed with flesh. They were men-like. You with me? And yet the whole town, the whole society of that subsidiaries wanted them for sexual relations. And when Lot took them inside, and then this is what blesses my heart, because all of this adds to what I'm studying, and it helps me understand, this has got to be. Why did God destroy this? Because they'd gone to the max to believe a lie, and their minds were warped with sin, and you can't get no worse than get out of the frame that God has made you as a man or a woman, and want a man or a woman if you're a woman or a man, rather than wanting two men and two women. You have a society jumped the harness. And God has said, and why? He didn't send just two human beings born into flesh down there. He let the two angels from heaven clothed in a body of flesh like two males. And they must have been like human beings because these men wanted them. And Lot said, but I have some daughters here. Please don't do this. Lot knew they were angels clothed in flesh. Don't do this wicked thing. And they say, no, we won't, you got to be too far gone as a man to not want a woman and rather have a man over a woman. I know I'm going to get some letters on this. I dread getting on this stuff. I mean, this world, this is that they don't believe a thing we say. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you, it gets to the point that God says, you're not listening. You won't listen. And because of that, he says, I'll just leave you to the believe a lie. He don't have to do nothing, and men will believe the lie, practice the lie, get it in their mind that the lie is really normal, and their society gets wickedlier and wicked. By the way, when you see the flood taking place, something catastrophic happened there too. And I'm not so sure it's not between two different worlds, but I'll wait till I get through before I lay it out there for you. And so here he said, what? For this cause, God shall send strong delusion. Watch this. Why would he send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie? The next verse tells us why. Notice he said that they all may be damned. Wait a minute, preacher. Now, wait a minute. That may be your God's, not mine. He's mine. He's mine because I know the preliminaries leading up to this. I understand the preliminaries leading up to this. Why God said this, at least in my mind, is not warped enough not to believe why he led. He said this, that they all might be damned. Why? Who believe not, there it is again, the truth. Watch. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. It had got to the place that truth, which could bless and enhance and lead them and have a relationship with God, had been eradicated so much now that the only thing that really mattered is what my flesh wants to do, and it takes over in my lifestyle and everything satisfied and pleases the flesh, and God goes out the window. Because I want to tell you something, folks, I'm going to let you know right now, when your flesh gets excited, God is hard to come in sometimes unless he just knocks us in the head. This flesh is powerful. Believe me, it's powerful. If it weren't for God, it'd be the most powerful thing we have, because Satan knows how to work through that. And so that's what we're seeing here at this time. So today, man's opinions are elevated above God's word. Since the early 1900s, God's word has been under attack. Secular humanists have demanded the removal of God and his word from nearly every area of public life. And by the way, you won't find it on the television anywhere either unless somebody's got enough money to buy some time at a few spots during the week, maybe Sunday or other times when people are sleeping at night. But you'll find everything on there that will lead you away from the things that God is saying for us to do. Don't take much. I can't imagine. You know, I'm not that old. But I'm amazed at the fact that when I was a boy coming up in my young adulthood life, I never hear cussing on television. It was forbidden. And now, it's open door. You watch it. There's a hindrance now to nudity, but you're going to see, not just on the porn shows, you're going to see for long, because of society, where they're going, nudity will be right there on the screen, because we'll say that's normal. And I say, we know better, but they do. So here, secular humanists have demanded the removal of God and his word from nearly every public life. We see that fighting all the time. We got people who are in society making laws to back up their way of life in our day. They then insist that insert secular humanism, and this treats man as supreme in authority above God. And ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to look around far but to see that that's exactly what's happening in America right now. Man himself is treating us, or God is treating the supreme authority above God. That is not God. And we see that in America. Now, when I come back and begin to think of these two systems running, and I begin to get into the book of Revelation, he talks about the spirit of Antichrist. And of course, in 1 John, he talked about the spirit of Antichrist. I'm amazed that Satan's gospel, and by the way, the news that Satan gives that the flesh is to be in joy is a gospel lie. It's his gospel. His gospel is opposite of what God's got. God's gospel is the good news that we're sinners to be saved. He's paid the sin debt, and therefore we can be a child of God. His gospel is go ahead and enjoy it. If it's good enough to enjoy, there's nothing wrong with it. After all, we are not animals. Isn't it an amazing thing? We're not animals. We're in the image of God, and yet some people act like animals. But we're not animals. You're right. We're in the image of God. Why would we look and act like animals if we were by being in the image of God? And so I believe that we see the pseudo church today is part of the confused mess that's coming out of Genesis chapter 11 in the Babel-Babylonian system. That's what God says the word means. Our English word, Babel, comes from Babylon. It sets forth from Babylon. Babel is confused. That is what coming out of that system is confused. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Look around. The church is confused today. Most people don't really believe. You hear people say, well, I believe this, but, you know, I don't know about this. Well, I believe that Jesus, but he's Son of God, but I don't know if he can take away all our sin. We're confused because what used to be carnal doctrines and taught, now the leadership of many religious groups are denying because they say they've studied behind somebody who's, you know, it's kind of like when Jesus came, it'd been something for you to follow the scribes, Pharisees, and Herodians because he wouldn't have been who he is today. If he had, he just fell in line. Did you know that they saw him as opposition to everything they believed? Do you know the religious leader in Christ's day saw him as an opposition to everything that they believed? Because he set forth the truth in what should be there, and it was not there at that time. And so the angel told Joseph that he should die and that he would save his people from their sin. Now, turn with Revelation chapter 17. Let me wet your whiskers a few minutes, or your heart, or your soul, or something anyhow. Amen. Revelation chapter 17. Now, when we get here, we're seeing God's divine view of Babylon. We do know that it sets forth error. I want you to look with me as we look down in verse chapter 5. First of all, he talks about the seven angels and talk with me. And a lot of times this looks like he calls the judgment on the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Of course, we know that's set forth to believe that this ruler, waters had to do with even nations or people. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. That's how God explains it. They're all so much involved with the drunkenness, they don't even realize what's going on. It's a happy-go-lucky. Have you ever seen somebody drunk and won't happy? Next morning, he was miserable. You ever seen somebody intoxicated and won't happy at the time? If you ever want to get something from somebody like that, you get intoxicated, you'll get it when they're intoxicated. They won't give it to you when they're sober. They'll give it to you when they're intoxicated. I've been around enough to know that. What he's saying, this system is going to be that way with this world. You're going to have the religious, you know, the political, and the ecclesiastical system, political and economic system. And he's laying this out now. We're talking about Babylon. Where do we first hear that come from? Genesis chapter 11. What does it mean? Babel, Babel. When you talk about Babylonian, we're talking about confused. God gave us an example because when he confused those tongues, those people began to migrate in different ways and places together as they understood their languages. And from there, they went to different places on the earth. And over a period of time, the climates and other things, as they had children and had birth, began to change the atmosphere and the attitude and the conditions of men as we see them today. But the main thing about that is not just the dispersion, But the main thing about that, ladies and gentlemen, is that it brought confusion. And that's what happened today. You know why we have so much religious jargon and stuff today? Because there's confusion out there. And what people do, they find something that I agree with, and they plot together here, and you have these little cells like that. And then if it's satanic and not too bad, they will kind of migrate and form together. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, don't bring him in here. Leave his name out. Why? Because his name's above all names. The Bible tells us that, you see. So watch, when you get down, he said, so he carried me away. He said, he carried me away in the spirit, watch, in verse 3, in the wilderness, and I saw a woman, watch where she's sitting at. Now, a woman setting forth, I believe, as the church is the bride. The woman here is like the anti-church or the anti-bride. We know that. He said, the woman sitteth upon a scarlet-colored beast. She's sitting on a scarlet-colored beast. Tell me, what color is scarlet? Bright red. What one thing blinks through your mind when you think about red, scarlet? Blood. You go back to the tabernacle and the temple, and you find the veil that hung between the holy place and the most holy place was made of blue, purple, and scarlet. Isn't it amazing? And this beast is bright red. You ever seen a beast like that? I've seen horses reddish, but I didn't see a bright red. In fact, I don't even see anything here. I see some red, but I don't see any bright red. And here she's sitting on this horse. In other words, her whole system is based on her foundation. What is her foundation? Well, it shows up as a bright red horse. And we know that's satanic influence. And then watch, he says, called a beast, full of names, a blasphemer, having seven heads and seven horns. If you go back to Exodus chapter 26, verse 31, you'll see what I said about the veil. He said the woman was arrayed, watch, in purple and scarlet color. Not only is she on the red horse, but she's arrayed in purple and scarlet color. It has to do like royal and blood. This seemed like it's kind of a mocking or anti what we have in Christ. We are washed in his blood, and we are rulers and reign with him one day as kings. Got to stop, Father. We're going to have a meeting. Father, Lord, I hate to stop here, but this is so great. There's so much I can have to say, and I guess so much we comprehend. But, Lord, I pray as we look at this, we'll understand, especially when we get down to verse 5 and we begin to analyze the words, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. Those words singled out to understand, connected together with the dots, will give us understanding about what we're reading here in this system that God's going to have to destroy here now. This is headed for destruction fast because it has personified itself to the place. There is nothing God can do to get them to turn about, and he has to destroy them. And Lord, not only did he tell us this would happen in prophecy, he gives us examples in the end of the age to understand it and dramatize it in ways that we can understand, but talking about things we understand in this life to get a vision. We may not have it completely right every time, but we've got it to know it's going to happen because God has given it to us in his word. And where the world walks away and laughs and makes, they'll look at it and make all kinds of movies about half God, half man, and all kinds of spiritual type things that sell to make money and yet at the same time not believe the truth. We want to see the truth, Lord, for our spiritual being. Please give us that ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.